It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Data centers across the U.S. are growing fast as tech companies respond to the AI boom.
These centers bring in new jobs, but they are resource-intensive, needing constant electricity and a reliable source of water to cool computer processors and equipment.
Wisconsin has 47 data centers, according to the data center map. But a new report from the Alliance for the Great Lakes suggests that Wisconsin and all Great Lakes states need to make urgent water policy changes.
Later, we'll hear from the report author about large water users and environmental protections.
But first, we zoom in on Menominee in northwestern Wisconsin. Its city council voted to annex and rezone about 320 acres of farmland.
There's no guarantee what this land will be used for yet, but a proposal for a $1.6 billion data center sparked controversy among residents. Menominee elderperson Cody Gentz joins us now. Cody, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hello, it's great to be here.
At the time of this recording, there are over 7,000 people in a Facebook group opposing a data center that is a possibility for your community. What are the major concerns that have come up from Menominee residents about a proposal?
Yeah, so there are a number of things that have come up, but I think there are a few big ones that really stand out. Folks are worried about water usage, power usage, light and noise pollution, and then obviously the loss of farmland in that area.
And we also heard from elderperson Sydney Brennan, who said in an email to us about residents, they want economic development, but they also want to weigh that against environmental impacts and other challenges. You know, Brennan feels that many residents kind of fall somewhere in the middle on a project like this. What is your response to that?
I'd say that's fairly accurate. I do know that there are a number of folks who are very opposed to the idea of a data center. And I've received a lot of negative feedback, but I think in general, you know, a lot of people are cognizant that, you know, we need economic development and this would be one way to do it. I think everybody is just a little bit, you know, nervous and cautious and, you know, the kind of how this project has proceeded being so big and how the company is behind like a shell LLC that has not inspired confidence. But I think, you know, generally it's mixed. I would agree with that.
Cody, so big, so secret. You mentioned the LLC here. The proposal is from an undisclosed tech company. What can you tell us about what's in the proposal?
Yeah, so we know that the total investment for this project would be around $1.6 billion, which for our area is huge. And the estimated tax revenue for the city would be, I think, if I recall right, you know, $1 million per year, which is massive. I think the city brings in $7 million a year in property taxes as it is now. So an extra million is like an extra 12.5%. There's also the possibility of, I believe the estimate was 50 to 75 like high paying technical roles, technical jobs. So yeah, that's kind of what we've been told about the project thus far. It's all sort of an estimate and very preliminary, but that's the numbers we're working with.
Take us back to the city council vote about the annexation and the rezoning of the 324 acres of farmland. Is the annexation and the rezoning tied to the data center proposal, or is it separate?
Technically, they are separate. Mm. The, you know, prospect of a data center coming in is what spurred the annexation and the rezone, but the annexation and the rezone happening does not guarantee that a data center is coming. As far as I know, we are not sure if the developer has even bought the land or committed to building anything. You know, all we know right now is that, you know, that parcel is now in the city limits and is zoned industrial. So say this balloonist LLC decides they don't want to build a data center here, something else could eventually beyond that land in the future.
You voted against the annexation ultimately. What went into your vote? What did you think about?
So I often balance the economic side of things with the feedback from the community. You know, I'm a numbers guy. I have a degree in computer science and a minor in economics. So I like looking at the numbers. And, you know, I'll admit at the, you know, outset of this project, the numbers seemed pretty good. And so I was, you know, I was skeptical, of course, but, you know, I was interested to sort of see how things played out. But as feedback rolled in from the community, I had people from my ward contacting me saying that, you know, they just didn't think this project was good for the city, as well as the, you know, secretive nature of the development, which, you know, is not unique to this project and is not unique to Menominee. But, you know, I wanted to, you know, honor the feedback that I had gotten from the community and people in my ward. And I wanted to also sort of take a stand against some of this secretive, you know, ways that large developers act these days.
Are you concerned at all about the natural resources if it ultimately does turn into a data center, the electricity and water requirements for such a facility?
Yeah, that's definitely on the top of my mind, especially the power usage, because, you know, that's governed by the Public Service Commission. So we don't have as much influence over, you know, what happens with our electrical rates. So that's something I'm keeping a very close eye on. And the water usage as well. While they have said that the preliminary plans for this data center would use a closed loop water system, so it would use a lot less water than some of the other data centers we've seen around the country, water around here is still a very precious resource. And, you know, we have a lot of people around here that care deeply about, you know, our water and our watershed. And so I want to make sure that we're treating that with the utmost respect.
Cody, what is the next step for this 324 acres?
So right now we are, you know, kind of waiting for the developer to make a move and come back to the city with more detailed plans. I think a possible next step could be a development agreement where the developer and the city would work out an agreement about, you know, what gets built and if there's any sort of tax structures, TIDs, things like that. And so I'm kind of looking out for that. And I think if that does come, it'll be very important to get a lot of public input. You know, I know some folks feel that this process is going extremely fast. And I understand it can really feel that way sometimes. But, you know, no matter how big this company is behind the data center project, they still have to follow our processes. They still have to, you know, come and have a public hearing on their proposals. And so there's still going to be a lot of opportunity for the council and the public to sort of examine this, do due diligence, and weigh in. And it's interesting because it is bringing together people from vastly different political and economic, you know, backgrounds to, you know, investigate this project, in some cases oppose it. But it is very, you know, inspiring to see folks getting more engaged with local politics. You know, seeing a packed audience room is quite amazing when I'm used to seeing in just a handful of folks.
Cody, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That was Cody Gentz, an elder person for Menominee. He shared residents' concerns about the environmental effects of a proposed data center in their city. According to a new report from the Alliance for the Great Lakes, data centers are increasing in number and putting pressure on freshwater resources. Because Great Lakes states are experiencing this stepped-up demand for land and water, the report authors urge an expansion of freshwater protections. To learn more, we turn to Helena Volzer, Senior Source Water Policy Manager at the Alliance for the Great Lakes and author of this report that focuses on large water users. Helena, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Your report explains how data centers use resources like electricity and water. Can you explain the scope of usage of these precious resources, you know, for data centers?
Yeah, sure. I'll start with some basics. So data centers use water for cooling. And what's really happening now and what we're seeing is a growth in the term hyperscale data centers. These are really, really large facilities. And when data centers use water, there's a variety of cooling methods they could use inside that system. The most common really appears to be evaporative cooling, where water sort of pushed through a membrane in the server room to bring down the temperature inside. Those server racks get hot from all of the computing that they're doing. When that method is used, more than half of the water evaporates. Whatever isn't evaporated is then either discharged or it can be recirculated once it's cooled down. A data center that's using evaporative cooling can use between 1 and 5 million gallons a day. To put that in perspective a little bit, you know, that 365 million gallons a year at the 1 million gallon per day level, right? That's equivalent to what 12,000 Americans use in a year. So it's a lot of water, and it's a lot of consumptive use of water. And that is water that's not being returned necessarily to the watershed. And so unlike those Americans, right, the water's not being returned back to where it originated from.
We heard the term used closed loop system in the potential one for Menominee. Is that more sustainable?
Yeah, we really don't have very good insight right now into what's the best practices to use in a data center. What I do know with a closed loop system is it has a tendency to use less water, but if more electricity is used in exchange, just because it uses less water, if it uses more electricity and that electricity is being generated by fossil fuels, coal, gas, oil, or nuclear, there's still water being used consumptively for generation to turn the turbines that generate that energy. And energy generation is one of the largest using consumptive use water sectors. So there's this connection between water and energy, and there are trade-offs. And right now, due to the lack of transparency around this sector, we really don't have good insight into what are the best practices.
What about gray water or non-potable water? Could that be used to cool these data centers? Does it need to be fresh water?
Yeah, it could. It very well could. Data centers don't need finished potable drinking water that you and I are drinking every day. And so some states have started to take a look at this. Ohio and Illinois, which are 4 and 5 in the country right now for the number of data centers they have enacted established chapters of something called a water reuse association. And they're beginning to take a look at this, at what kind of laws and regulations might be needed to accommodate the reuse of non-potable water, because there's a lot to consider with that kind of reuse. So, you know, other states are starting to take a look at that. And that's something that we recommend in the report, is that states start exploring, you know, what are the best practices and ways to allow for that non-potable reuse, and at the same time setting some conservation and efficiency standards for this industry.
Go further into some of those ideas, suggestions, and standards for different Great Lakes states. I mean, what are some of the more urgent suggestions that you would have for Wisconsin in particular?
Yeah, so I think I'll start by saying that the policy recommendations we make in the report, there are several that are broadly applicable regardless of which state in the region you're talking about. And the first one, the most, you know, I think the most pressing need right now is a need for regional demand studies that look into a state in a more localized way and figure out where water is available and where it's not. Ohio, Illinois, and Indiana have started to do these kinds of demand studies. Ohio recently completed one for the Central Ohio area, and it's really telling because it identifies gaps in capacity, where water is available and where it's not. And so these studies both need to be funded and they need to be used by economic development corps in deciding where to locate and site and incentivize in those making those decisions, both by the economic development corps and local governments could turn to these kinds of studies.
So you're saying like Wisconsin could do more groundwater and aquifer mapping to manage the groundwater before there's a crisis situation with wells or aquifers?
Absolutely, yeah. Groundwater funding for groundwater mapping. The more information we have, the better ability to predict this demand. We'll be able to you know, make better decisions in terms of sustainability for water resources. In addition, what we found in the report is that, you know, Great Lakes states, by and large, do not have the tools necessary to curb or limit groundwater usage before there's been some kind of adverse resource impact. And so in a state like Wisconsin, you know, that's really reliant on groundwater for drinking water supplies. I think Wisconsin's at 75% of Wisconsin residents rely on groundwater for their drinking water. We feel it's important for this state and for all states in the region to be thinking about water more holistically.
How does Wisconsin versus other states resolve groundwater legal disputes?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that Wisconsin falls into the category of a lot of states, which is ultimately relying on litigation when it comes to groundwater disputes. The state can establish groundwater management areas once a certain threshold's been hit to sort of limit groundwater usage from permitted users. But one of the issues we haven't really touched on yet is that data centers, by and large, are connecting to municipal supplies, and that completely eliminates them from the requirement to obtain consumptive use permits or register with the state. And so there's a lack of transparency there in terms of how much water they're using, because the public water system is the one that actually has to report on water usage, not the data center. So any large industrial user that's connecting to municipal supplies isn't required to track and report its water usage. And when it comes to data centers, less than a third of them are even tracking their water use. Hmm. And then 97% of data center operators are connecting in this way to municipal supplies.
These data centers, they're going up fast. It seems like here in the Midwest, there is a lot of development underway. Is that swiftness of the rollout of these centers, can that ultimately have an impact on your natural resources if you don't have the protections in place?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're pointing to these regional demand studies to quickly get a better handle on available demand and supply, right? Mm-hmm. But you can potentially, use up groundwater resources and cause the kinds of conflicts that our report kind of advises that states take action now to implement some of these policy recommendations to avoid that kind of result.
You heard how residents of Menominee are reacting to this proposal for a data center in their community. Hundreds of acres of farmland was annexed. What do you think of the response to this project that is under consideration in the community? And does it remind you of other communities?
Yeah, this story has played out in a number of communities throughout the Great Lakes region. And this issue of water use and energy use and all of the associated impacts with data centers has really had an overwhelming response. We've had a really great response to the report, which is available at greatlakes.org for those that are interested in it. But it's a common story, right? You have non-disclosure agreement, something obscuring the transparency of how much water and energy is even proposed to be used. In this case, obscuring the name of the company that's actually going to be locating there. That's a common story that we see. One of the other recommendations in the report is we need some public disclosure requirements at the outset, how much water and energy is proposed to be used so the community can make better decisions. And so I think that's why you've sort of seen some of this reaction in terms of the response, that lack of transparency. In our case, we're making the point that, there's also a need for ongoing water use reporting requirements. Once it's been built, how much water is it using and is it sticking to that?
Helena, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And that is Helena Volzer, Senior Source Water Policy Manager at Alliance for the Great Lakes. Their new report is called A Finite Resource, and it focuses on heavy water use industries. Earlier, we heard from Menominee Alderperson Cody Gentz, who talked about the concerns that residents have over a proposal for a data center in that community.